Welcome to the Colorado Review podcast, featuring prose and poetry from both recent and archived issues of the journal. Once a month, a rotating crew of editors and staff members are invited to read and discuss some favorite poems, stories, and essays as published at Colorado Review. I'm Kylan Rice, joined today by Bonnie Arning, whose poem Black Acres appears in the spring 2016 issue of the journal. This special episode of the Colorado Review is coming to you from this year's AWP conference, which took place in Los Angeles. So Bonnie, thank you so much for joining me today. We're here at AWP. You can hear the crush of voices behind us. You have a poem in the most recent issue of Colorado Review entitled Black Acres, and I'm really excited by the chance I'm having now to talk to you and to maybe hear you read it and then have maybe a quick conversation afterwards, especially given the fact that your book, Escape Velocity, is coming out from Center for Literary Publishing in the spring of 2017, which is very exciting. I was excited to learn that, you know, flipping to the back page and finding that you have a book coming out from the CLP where I can read more of these poems. Do you have anything to maybe that the reader should know before, or rather the listener should know before they hear this poem? Any details that as to where maybe it fits into? Because this is a poem from your manuscript.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I have to say, first of all, thank you. Thank you for having me. And it is nice to be here, and I'm really happy to be reading and to be in Colorado Review. So yeah, this poem, Black Acres, comes at the end of my collection. It's actually the last poem. So we're cheating. We're reading the end of the book.
Great.
Basically.
I always do that. I don't read books. I just read the last
page.
Well,
so this would be the last poem first.
Great.
If this was the first poem. Yeah.
All right. Great. Well, why don't we dive right into it?
Okay. All right. Black Acres. The red dot on the map reads, "You are here." I placed my finger to the circle, then against my chest. There was a time I thought we never left the garden, that our only problem was simple, a failure to recognize the canker and bagworms of paradise. 100 days gone, and I wonder if the wasp who dropped into my lap, flexed its wings, then died, is the only blessing I'm fit for. A woman who leaves her husband, she is free to launch her body anywhere like a fat rubber band. The boys who soap civics in moonlight, the neighbor whose linens slap at my window, the man who leaves hickeys and bite marks that scar. What if this is what I was allotted the day I was born? The wasp didn't sting, and when wind uprooted the tree in my yard, how beautiful its blooms became, once scattered in dirt. I press my finger to the circle, and then against my chest. What's mine? Here are all the black acres of paradise.
That was Bonnie Arning reading the poem Black Acres from the spring 2016 issue of Colorado Review. You can find that poem and many others by visiting our website. Bonnie, I just want to talk to you for a few moments about sort of how I found myself entering the poem. It immediately caught my eye, in large part because I am thinking a lot about place right now, and certainly about the ways in which, like, contemporary poetry can deal with place. It seems like we live in a world where place is somehow disturbed. You know, we've got... this is a poem that begins by thinking about where one is located, you know, like placing oneself.
Yeah.
And like the complex intellectual and emotional work that entails.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that we're surrounded by technology that places us, you know, like among many other things. You know, we've got GPSs everywhere, and we've got, you know, Google Maps. And it seems also the world... Everything in the world, or every part of the world, is moving through every other part. That's just my sense of like place in the contemporary world. And so I was just wondering if you could maybe talk about the ways in which this poem, or maybe your manuscript at large, or rather your book, I guess, talks about or thinks through place specifically as a contemporary poet and in a contemporary world. I wonder if you've thought about that at all.
I think specifically in this poem, this actually began as when I was in graduate school, I would walk to campus to teach and to take classes. And every time I would walk from, after I was divorced, I lived in this really terrible apartment in the student ghetto, and I would walk through, you know, the barbed wires and I'm from Albuquerque, if that contextualizes it at all as place. And then to this really beat up map on campus that would say, you are here. And days and days and days of passing it, and I found myself so infuriated that this map was telling me, you are here. And I would think, I'm not. Right. Like, you don't know where I am.
Right.
And so on a very emotional map, I would say, I kept thinking, like, what does that mean? Like, where am I?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the context of the manuscript, the reader has to, or the narrator has to evaluate, I've gone on this long journey, but where am I? Like, where did I end up? And it's like really looking to root themselves somewhere to say, okay, well, where have I come?
Yeah.
I'm probably not answering your question about being contemporary, but I do think that we live now in a place that is so fluid. It's like I can be talking to you, but right now I could also be on my smartphone. I could be on Instagram. I could be reading through tweets of people in the next building that are being sent out. And so, you know, where are we ever? We're in our minds. There's our physical body that inhabits a physical place, and then there's our emotional body, and then our mental body. I don't know.
Yeah, no, and there's this way in which, I mean, if we tie this back to this sign that you'd see on campus, mm-hmm. telling you where you are,
yeah.
There's this way in which even that, like, untetheredness,
yeah.
that untethered quality to ourselves in places, we still somehow react against, you know, somebody telling us where we
yeah.
are. There's this, even afloat, we want to be in control of when we're in a place, when we're being told we're
yeah.
in a given place. You know, it's interesting also that you're calling these poems black, I mean, rather that this poem is called Black Acres, and certainly that's a phrase that comes up in the poem as well, where there's something like, something invisible about a black acre, or something unknowable. It's black. It's shadowed.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a destroyed place.
It's a destroyed place.
And so, part of the book, the other thread and the other thing that the Black Acres alludes to is outer space. And space is a really big metaphor throughout the collection in terms of thinking of this relationship. If we and the title Escape Velocity comes from the idea. Like when the universe began, so it's going out, it's expanding, and the question has always been, do we live in an open or a closed mm. universe? And so if, in terms of relationship, would we start together so intimate and close? Will we move out forever, infinitely, away from each other in these black acres of space, or will we eventually hit the wall and start coming back?
Right, interesting.
And then I think, you know, the narrator, in terms of the relationship, is asking this question early on, like, where are we headed? Where are we going? To what place? Are we expanding into something, some lonely territory, or will we find each other? Will we come back?
And that gesture that you make in this poem, I mean, that really cracks open the poem for me, because, you know, it is in many ways kind of a riff on the pastoral poem,
mm-hmm.
or you know, the poem of utopia, you know, paradise,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And to talk about such an earthbound setting in the context of a thematic consideration, or like sort of metaphoric gesture towards space,
mm.
feels really important to me in terms of how this poem, or maybe how this collection, is thinking about place in a contemporary world where we've got the here, but we've also got like the satellites,
here.
You know,
yeah.
and space and like the very small and the very large collapsing together.
Where are we
together.
In the cosmic, on the cosmic scale?
Right.
On the cosmic map, where are we? What's happening? Yeah.
Which seems more complicated today than it ever has been before because of all the entanglement that comes with being in
mm-hmm.
a place. So,
yeah.
So that really makes sense for me. One last question. I understand that this is a poem in sort of a narrative arc
That you do conceive of the collection Escape Velocity as almost kind of novelistic in its progression in telling a story. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could just speak for a moment about the value you sense in specifically in a narrative approach.
Yeah.
And maybe just like talk for a moment about why you see yourself as perhaps more of a narrative poet than more of a lyric poet. Because, you know, I encountered this as a, you know, knowing nothing about its placement in the collection as sort of a one-off poem. I encountered it as a lyric poem.
Oh,
but I'd be interested to hear you talk about like how you sense the interplay between like discrete unit poem and larger narrative.
Yeah. Well, that's really fascinating to hear you say that. And it's good for me to hear as a writer of these poems. I spend so much time with them. I think I'm always worried that they're too obvious, that they're telling too much of a story, and that they're losing some of that magical quality that lyric poetry has, that I find really beautiful, but also I find really elusive. In my own mind, I don't construct things that way. In every poem, I'm always looking for getting to some truth, like if getting to the bone. You know, if I think of writing a poem as I'm writing words and I'm writing words, and as I edit, it's pulling back, you know, just where is the bone?
Mm-hmm.
I want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to locate it and I want to say this is it. And usually it's like the emotional truth. But I feel like I can't find that unless I tell exactly how I got to it. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's located. Again, we're at this place, but what I find, and in my book I have this trouble, is that many of the poems, maybe they are more lyric by themselves, but they're telling a story together.
Right.
And so as a standalone, I wonder, like, what does someone think of this? Because for me, it really is in conversation with the other poems around it in the book. And I sort of tried to structure the book, you know, very Freytag's triangle, like very narrative arc. But I'm interested to hear you say it feels lyric. Mm-hmm. I'm pleased, because mm-hmm. I think that lyric poetry, my favorite lyric poets, sense the power in these strange little moments and phrases. And I often find myself reaching for that power. But for me, the power is in some emotional truth, which is rooted in a story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in flashes in my mind of moments or hours or events. But I would feel really privileged to be thought of as someone who writes more lyrically, because I think it's a hard thing to do.
I love that you're talking about somehow lyric poetry, or poetry in general, needing to reckon with time, like the passage of time, and time having a kind of emotional freight to it. And so, like, in order to tap into that emotional freight of that bone that you're talking about,
uh-huh.
that most core thing about a poem, somehow you have to also witness to the time of the original event, of the poem itself. So, and that leads to narrative in ways, I think, real quickly.
That deals with time. Well, that's interesting. And I can't remember who said it now, but it's like that phrase, you know, even a leaf falling from a tree, it's a very lyric moment, but that is a narrative within it. Like, time exists within that moment. Like, we can't escape time and we can't escape place. We can't escape story. The story may change, or our conception of the story may change, but everything in its own way is narrative.
Yeah.
And every narrative in its own way has lyric to it, or maybe that's not true. I don't know.
No, that sounds right to me. And I look forward to seeing it play out over the course of Escape Velocity.
Well, I can't wait for you to read it, because you have all these insights into my work. I can't wait to see what you would say about it.
Well, thanks so much, Bonnie. Thanks for joining me and you know, letting us hear that poem.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was nice.
You've been listening to the Colorado Review podcast, which can be found on iTunes and at Colorado Review's website, coloradoreview.colostate.edu. Also online, you can find selections from recent and archived issues of the journal, blog posts, reviews, and much more. This podcast is made possible by Colorado State University and the Center for Literary Publishing. Thanks for listening.